B1049 country star Daryl Worley will be performing at the Wittenberg Burnhamwood Auditorium this coming Sunday. It's a 4 p.m. show, and what a beautiful setting for a show, too. And you can get tickets at rubbersoleproductions.com. And Daryl is on the phone line. Good morning, Daryl. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing real good. Doing real good. As we're talking, you say you're in a rainstorm, huh?
Man, it just came out of nowhere, and we didn't expect it. So took us a few minutes to move all of our we're just working over there, so we got tools and lumber and everything back inside the barn. It was a mess. that set me a few minutes late calling you.
I can imagine it when they pop up like that. So you still have an active farm?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very active.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what type of farming do you do?
Well, we have horses, but my wife raises those, miniature furry cows, the little Highland crosses and all that stuff. So she's got that going on, and we still run a few commercial cows, too, and then we got a lot of hay fields and stuff.
So. Okay, so you do keep busy with
keeps
the farm.
Keeps us very busy.
Yeah. Wow. And then you're still out on the road touring, too.
Absolutely. You gotta pay for the farm.
I suppose one way or the other. No kidding. Yeah, no, you mentioned you had you have rain coming down. We had some snow, and hopefully by the time you get here, all the snow will be melted when you perform here on Sunday. We're hoping for that anyway. But we're looking forward to your show coming up at the Wittenberg Burnhamwood Auditorium this coming Sunday. And people, if they're just tuning in, we're talking with country star Daryl Worley. And, you know, I was noticing when you started out with the first time, I guess, people heard you on the radio, you were a little bit older than the normal artist at that time.
I mean, quite a bit older.
Quite a bit, okay.
To be honest. Yeah.
I was trying to be nice.
No. I mean, it's kind of a unique story, you know. We talk about it quite a bit. The label actually thought I was 25 years old when I was signing with them. And, I mean, I didn't lie to them. Somebody told them that. They never asked me about my age. And then it came up on the day of the signing, and my lawyer had already told me. He said, don't date anything. He said, just sign your name, and I'll go back and put the dates in later. And so the guy there, Scott Borchetta, that was going to be the head of record promotion, said, are you 25? And I said, no, I'm 35. He was like, oh, wow. But I didn't look 35 at the time.
Yeah.
Of course, now I'm 60 and I look 75. that's what the road does to you.
Oh, come on. You know, you've when you came out, you came out right out of the gates, and you're doing really well with your songs, weren't you?
Yeah, we had a pretty good run right off the bat, you know, and then hit a little slick spot that slowed down for a while, and then we had another run. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was we had a pretty good string of hits, and, you know, we can go out and play an hour and a half and not play anything but singles, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, that is a good thing. We're looking forward to your concert and to hear all your singles, too. Is there any song that really stands out that means the most to you?
Oh, I don't think I have a favorite. It's just so hard.
Uh-huh.
But I do have, of course, I Miss My Friend is special to me because it was my first number one, and
right.
it's just such a personal song. Have You Forgotten it just afforded us so many different experiences, and that's always been something special to me. So, and I could just go down the list, but
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't want to leave out Second Wind. You know, that song was my mother's favorite song. And just very, I have a really, really strong personal connection to it. And it is, it's so weird. We thought that song was going to be just a big old huge hit. And it was a hit, but not what we thought it was going to be. And, but it has become one of the songs that I get more requests for than anything else. And so that's, it just, my mom said, you know, you're going to find out that this one is a sleeper, because she really believed in it and thought it was amazing. She was a very spiritual person, and she said this is a healing song.
Mm-hmm.
So I always throw that one in the list when I'm talking about favorites. So,
yeah, well, I don't
there's a bunch of them.
I don't blame you. That is a great song. And maybe the timing at the time or something. Who knows when you bring things out. And there is, you know, as far as I've been in the radio business 30-plus years, when people get their singles across, there's a lot of politics involved too.
You know? Oh, indeed there is. Well, I think though that you were right about timing. One of the things I know that worked against us at that time with that song is that, and you know how this can be, there were just a lot of ballads out there.
Right.
And when we released it, they were needing some tempo songs to keep things rolling on the radio. And, you know, we fell into that deal. And it did well. I shouldn't complain. I'd kill for a top 15 now.
Well, speaking of that, though, you did come out with an album or a song last year. Was it with Chris Jansen? And I'm thinking there was somebody else on the single.
Justin Moore. Yeah. Justin Moore and Chris Jansen sang with me on a thing called Tractor Time. We're talking about doing kind of a re-release. We've done a video that no one has seen, and we're thinking about doing that. That song should have done better than it did, but... I can say that about a lot of them. You know, you know it as well as anyone. The radio game is a tough one, and especially when you've kind of gotten older and they're not used to seeing as much of you. It's out of sight, it's out of mind.
Right. Yeah. Well, actually, we've been playing that song this week, and I like it. It's a great song.
The young people are crazy about it, and so it'll be a big hit at the school.
there you go. Now, speaking of songs, though, Have You Forgotten? I mean, that's like a once-in-a-lifetime song for anyone, and you happen to have it. How did that song come about?
It was really a product of my very first journey to the war zone in Afghanistan to entertain our troops. And, you know, just coming off of that experience, it was just such a surreal couple of weeks that we spent there, and some of the things that we experienced, you know, just really stuck out in my mind. I thought, I have got to go home and do something for these people that do this for us, you know, just so that they know what they mean to me and I thought, you know, I thought, man, we should really all be very cognizant of what kind of sacrifices these people make. And it wasn't just the military, but it was what we'd just gone through on 9/11 and what we saw from our first responders. So that song is just simple as it can be. It was just designed to honor those people, and that's what it did. And it did it in a big way. So we're very, very thankful for it. Still gets me a lot of work, thank God.
Well, it's just an incredible song. And, I mean, it's still relevant today too.
Oh yeah, you know, it does seem to have that timeless factor that works for songs, and it still gets some airplay, and I still see it show up on my royalty, you know, my quarterly royalty account. I'm like, yeah, come on, buddy, bring me some more money.
Are you working on any new stuff right now?
Well, I've always got stuff cooking because that's what I do. You know, mm-hmm. I really went to Nashville to be a songwriter. And I had put the old artistry deal out of my head and just wanted to concentrate on that. And then I made a mistake and sang all my demos on my first demo session at EMI. And they came looking for me and said, man, you're a good singer. And I was like, well, thank you. Let's write some songs. And they were sort of chasing me to do another production deal and see if they could get a record contract, and I was reluctant to do it because I had done it so many times, and it was just starting to get, you know, when you're 35, you need to get your bank account started. And I told them, I said, man, I just need to write some songs and make some money. And they said, well, will you give us 6 months? Because I had done several production deals that lasted 2 years, you know, and I said, well, yeah, I'll give you 6 months. And they had me a record deal in about three.
Wow.
So it was good.
Yeah. Biggest moment as a country star for you? Does anything really stand out?
Well, there are some things that stand out. You know, I wound up being nominated for almost everything they give away on the CMA Awards and ACMs over the years. And so, you know, those TV performances were something that you will never forget.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly, you know, put those pretty high on the list of cool things I got to do. But I think overall of it, the time that I spent in the war zone in some really precarious places, entertaining our men and women in the military would always be, you know, that there's no performance that could top standing in front of 3,000 troops that are locked and loaded and singing Have You Forgotten. It was just out of control I guess it's one of those things where you feel like, okay, I found my purpose in life. And that was a sweet feeling to know that what you felt like you were doing was really making a difference for people that were, and you know, they just all talked about how having a little piece of home there in that crazy time for them was very, very special. And I was that little piece of home, and Have You Forgotten was that little piece of home. So what a blessing it was.
Yeah, and thank you for doing that for the soldiers. What a great thing to do.
Absolutely.
Is that where the song I Just Came Back From a War came from?
It is, and I actually it was a trip that, and it's probably around 07, 08, I don't know, 05, 06. It was somewhere on down the road, and we had a uniquely we had a uniquely eventful trip on that particular journey. We got to see a little bit more of the action that makes war be war, we got a little closer to what our men and women do. Of course, that year it wasn't all USO stuff. Like, I traveled a lot with the Sergeant Major of the Army, and he took us because we could just take flat tops and stand on top of a tank and play for, you know, people that were out there getting it done. We would go and with them a lot, and that's when we encountered some of the more stuff that you don't typically see in the war zone as entertainers.
Right.
And so I came back and got in a huddle with some of my family members and talked a whole. These are people who serve, and I talked a bunch about, you know, my journey and what we had experienced, and then they got to talking, and some of them were active duty at that time, and we just, you know, we hashed it out, and that song came out of all those discussions, and you know, they kind of had input, and which felt really cool to me and my friends as songwriters. We were able to sit right there with the people that, you know, actually do that for a living, and talk about the song and lines in the song, and so that was pretty special. And we didn't even expect that song to make the project, and it wound up being a hit song. It was kind of caught us off guard. We really didn't expect it, but when we started testing songs for radio, that's the one they wanted. I couldn't get away from the war thing, you know. I was like, okay, bring it on. I don't care.
Well, Emma, that's a unique way of writing a song like that too, but getting input. Wow, that's incredible. So if people are tuning in, we're talking with country music star Daryl Worley. He's going to be at the Wittenberg Burnhamwood Auditorium this coming Sunday, a 4 p.m. show. You're going to like the setting. It's a intimate setting, up close on stage, and there's not a bad seat in the house, and the acoustics are really good.
Awesome.
Yeah. So what can we expect during your show? Like you said earlier, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, you've got all your hits you can play, so that is great. Any surprises or anything like that?
Oh, we might do something that you guys hadn't heard before, and we might play some album cuts that you don't expect to hear, and we may even do some covers. I mean, we don't these acoustic shows are really different, and I think if you've done them enough to know, if you can kind of read your audience and know, you know, what's working and where to go with it, that it's just really special because, you know, you said the word earlier, you know, when you're in that intimate environment, if you know how to manipulate it and work it, it can be really, really good. You just gotta know what's making them laugh or cry or smile or jump up and down and do mostly that. And it is a bit of a roller coaster ride. You know, we try to keep the tempo moving around because that seems to be what really makes people respond and feel like they're getting entertained. And so I don't intend to put anyone to sleep. We're going to have a big time. And my guys are great at this this type of presentation. So, yeah, I think it'll be really good.
All right. Well, we are really looking forward to it and can't wait to see you coming up on Sunday, and appreciate you talking with us.
Oh, man, thank you for helping us get the word out that we're going to be there. Hope people show up and come to hear some good music and enjoy themselves.
Oh, I think they will. It's going to be a great time. Thanks, Darryl.
Yeah.